a Jay Sekulow, a voice out of the past. James Comey weighs in on the Kavanaugh nomination.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
James Comey writes this in the New York Times. His op-ed says this: it is idiotic to put a shot clock on the FBI, but it's better to give professionals 7 days to find facts than to have no professional investigation at all.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
At the end of the day, the FBI is going to go through this process. They're going to do interviews. They don't come to a conclusion. That's still something the Senate has to do. They're going to go and they're going to provide information, and the Senate's going to have to make a determination to either vote for Brett Kavanaugh or not.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. You're going to want to get in this conversation early. So when we went up the air, the FBI decided, or the White House authorized, an FBI background investigation to include two aspects. At least that's what we understand right now. And those are more investigation as it relates to Dr. Ford, and then and a second investigation, part of the same overall investigation of Brett Kavanaugh's background relating to a classmate of his at Yale named Mrs. Ramirez. Now, this is ongoing. James Comey, in the interim, has entered into the fray saying, while 7 days is putting a shot clock in place isn't appropriate, that the FBI should be able to do this. And, of course, he raises then some pretty condescending statements, really, about Brett Kavanaugh and Brett Kavanaugh's character. But this is a new development. I think if you're going to be honest with the evaluation of where it stands right now, I think it's looking, I would say, what do you think, Jordan?
I think it's a 50-50 shot. I mean, we don't know what the FBI will uncover. We know that Dr. Ford's case, that there are definitely people to contact, and I'm sure they've done that already, to see if their statements have lined up with what they've already said, which is this didn't occur. So no one has corroborated that story from Dr. Ford. And then second, some of these other incidents as well, like in Yale, all of those were explained by the accusers and the accuser in that case to have happened in front of other people. So you would imagine that if that did occur, that other people, when contacted by the FBI, different than even like a Senate Judiciary Committee staffer, even though that's under oath as well, but been contacted by the FBI, would be able to corroborate a story like that because it was so something you would remember happening. So far, no one has publicly. Even people have made mean comments or degrading comments about Brett Kavanaugh at his time as Yale. None of them have corroborated the story, which we don't want to get into the details of, but of the incident by, I think it's Mr. Yep. Ramirez. So that being said, the FBI, I'm sure, is contacting everyone that they can figure out at the dorm or that facility and figure out if anybody is willing to corroborate that story. If not, I think the 50-50 changes to 75% chance.
Okay, so what happens if they find a corroborating witness, Andy?
Well, a corroborating witness doesn't necessarily mean that it's a prosecutable case. Although, remember, this is a political issue, not an issue in court. It's not a judicial matter, but a corroborating witness could be subject to impeachment on a variety of grounds. Maybe they say they saw it, but then when you cross-examine them, their recollection is flawed or other things come up. So just saying a corroborating witness found doesn't necessarily mean that it's a prosecutable case or a politically viable case.
One of the things I'm looking at, Harry, is I see that Dianne Feinstein has said the White House and FBI should release details on the scope of the Kavanaugh background investigation and keep Congress informed on any changes. This needs to be a real investigation. We must get all the facts. But the fact is that the FBI does these investigations. This is routine for them. They know how to do them.
Absolutely. So I think one of the things that we should be concerned about is the fact that the Senate Judiciary Committee now wants to direct the FBI in how to investigate, and that's clearly beyond their purview.
So, Wes, what's your thought? Where do you think it just give you in your 20-second view of this right now?
Yeah, it's been painful to watch, but yeah. I agree with Jordan. It's 50-50, and if they can't come up with corroborating evidence, I think it's 75-25 that he'll get confirmed.
My gut reaction was subject to – I thought what they would find, I mean, unless they find corroborating evidence, that's subject to cross-examination and seems to be credible, is that they're going to not be able to – they're not going to call Dr. Ford a liar. They're going to say there's no evidence substantiating her claim, and there's no evidence that points out that Brett Kavanaugh was not telling the truth. That's generally how it would come out, but for the evidence. And that's going to determine all this. All right, we're taking your calls. We want your reaction to a contentious Supreme Court fight. Give us a call.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Right. Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. If there is a, I just asked Andy Economo during our break, and I'm going to do this for our radio audience too, because your former U.S. attorney worked a lot with the FBI. Walk through what this investigation looks like.
Well, the FBI has given a directive by the White House to investigate the individuals, the people who have these alleged knowledge of what happened with Kavanaugh at Yale and at these other places, and they go and they talk to them. They're not under oath, but it's still a felony to lie to the FBI, and they get granular, very detailed about what it is that happened and the allegations. They do a report on a Form 302. That's just a number of a form, like a 1040 in the Treasury Department, Jay, that you're familiar with. And they do a form, and then they collate the forms, and they give them to the Justice, to the White House, and the White House makes a decision as to whether they're going to continue with this nomination or not.
Now, is it the White House that makes that decision, or will it actually go, it will also go to the Judiciary Committee? So,
well, it could go to the Judiciary
Committee. Sure, the White House could pull it. I mean,
Right. The White House could make a decision based on those
three cooperating evidence.
That there's sufficient evidence there that it's the nomination.
Do you think that the allegation,
Harry,
the allegation on the, and I don't want to get into the specifics of the, what that allegation are, but everybody saw them last week. The allegation at the Yale University event party, if those allegations prove to be true, which there's no evidence of it other than the one witness. I mean, that's one. If that ends up being corroborated, subject to review, and still and is credible, what do you think that does to the nomination?
Well, I think the nomination is in deep trouble, and I think at this point in time, it's very possible to speculate that that allegation remains the most serious hurdle to his confirmation. It's important to realize that Rebecca Mitchell, the prosecutor, who asked questions at the hearing, suggested that no reasonable prosecutor would bring a case against Judge Kavanaugh based on the testimony of the two witnesses last week. So I think if there is some corroboration with respect to the second allegation, that could pose a real hurdle for Judge Kavanaugh.
That's if, in fact, there's cooperation.
Absolutely. Exactly. So that's a huge question.
Yeah, and I think one of the most interesting things about Mitchell's report to the Republican Senate, and she sent it to all the Republican senators, is she said that this is a matter of he said, she said, but this case is even weaker than that in her report. That's a very telling statement about how she views the witnesses that have come forward.
But here, you've got the Democrats are looking to stop this nomination. Let's be clear.
Yeah.
But none of the Democrats, maybe but on the committee especially, we can talk about individual Democrats in a minute on the Senate, but nobody on this committee was going to be voting for Kavanaugh before this happened.
Absolutely not. They'd already announced their opposition to him. So they were going to vote no in the committee. They were going to vote no on the floor of the U.S. Senate. There's a handful of Democrats left. I think basically it's Joe Manchin, Heidi Heitkamp. I mean, I'm not even sure who else passed that. I mean, because you had Joe Donnelly come out and say no. Now, I don't know if the FBI changed. It's possible that this FBI investigation has changed the mind to reopen of a few of those moderate Democrats or red state. I'd call them red state Democrats. They're not so moderate. Like Doug Jones in Alabama. Does this change his mind if the FBI comes back for the potential to vote? We will see. But so far, I think it comes down to Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins, maybe Joe Manchin. Thing is, I don't think you get Susan Collins without Lisa Murkowski and vice versa. I can't imagine one of them voting yes and one voting no. So, yes, Joe Manchin could be important to get kind of over the line and with a Democrat not have to have Mike.
Do you see any Democratic support right now? Do you think see a Joe Manchin doing it?
Only if this report comes back crystal clean. And that would be and because of internal pressure. And he would do it only if Murkowski and Collins were there. So it was already over the line. So he's not doing anything to get the nominee there. I don't think he would be the vote to confirm Brett Kavanaugh. Let me say, if it came down to him, no. But he's not going to make the calculation that way.
Andy, how do you see it?
Yeah, I agree with Jordan. I don't think Manchin is going to be the one that pulls the trigger for Kavanaugh. I think if he sees that the Republican senators Murkowski and Collins are going for him, then he'll throw his hat in that direction.
Let's go ahead and take a phone call, 1-800-684-3110, if you want to talk to us on air.
Yeah, let's go to Phil in New York. We were talking about it a little bit, but we could talk about some more. Phil in New York on line one. Phil, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, Phil.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Sure.
You very much anticipated my question. My question was going to be and is, do you think there's any chance whatsoever that even one Democratic senator will vote for confirmation?
I think what we just said is right. I mean, if Manchin, if he was to be the deciding vote, probably not. If it's already 51 votes there, he may because it helps him in the Senate seat. How close is that Senate seat in Virginia, West Virginia right now? No, it was.
I think he's looking not to rock the boat there. I think he's got an okay lead.
It's interesting.
But let me tell you something. You vote against
the Supreme Court nominee?
The Supreme Court nominee of President Trump, and those Trump voters come back
at it. Heitkamp? Same thing, you think?
Same, but I think not. Maybe not. I think now they can all rely on this report, but they will not be the votes to get him across the line. So it's not like Heidi Heitkamp and Joe Manchin are going to come saving this if Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski vote no.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like, they're not going to be the 50th and 51st vote, or even the 49th and 50th vote, so that Vice President Pence could be the 51st vote. Joe Manchin's got a 9% lead right now. So he's not going to want to do anything to rock that. You don't want to get into 5%, so because it becomes a whole different issue for the national parties when you start dropping lower than that.
Yeah.
So he's right on the line of a should be a pretty easy race unless you awaken to some Trump base there that gets so upset with you. I don't know, but if something comes back about him, which is what I think Joe Manchin's looking at, I don't think that awakens the base. I think that the nomination gets pulled.
Right now, Manchin is up by 9%, but I'll tell you something.
That could swing down to 5% pretty quick, and then you got a real race.
All right, let's go ahead and take another phone call. 1-800-684-3110.
Yeah, Mary Ellen in Illinois on line four. Mary Ellen, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, Mary Ellen.
Hello, everyone.
Yep.
I have a question about this whole thing.
Yep.
You've all been saying, and I've heard this from many people, that the FBI has no jurisdiction. So why are we wasting time and money and going through this little game with the Democrats?
Well, you got to understand something. They don't have the authority to investigate it as a crime, but Andy, they do have an authority to investigate it as a background check. That's what this is.
That's exactly what it is. This is not a federal crime. This is a state crime. In other words, it is a state-based. If, in fact, he is has committed an offense, then it's under the laws of the state in which he committed these offenses, allegedly. But this is being done not as an investigation of a federal crime, which it is not and cannot be, but as a background investigation of a nominee to the Supreme Court. And that's how the FBI gets their presence into this case.
Now, which that means that this is not a criminal investigation.
No.
So this is not a situation where a file is then opened at a U.S. attorney's office and the case moved. This is to determine whether he qualifies for background to be on the court. And I think what's happening right now, you've got allegations. You've got two that they're considering. They're not reviewing the one raised by Michael Avenatti's client. They're reviewing the two. Now, you've got Dianne Feinstein saying the White House and the FBI should release details on the scope of the Kavanaugh background investigation, keep Congress informed on any changes. This needs to be a real investigation. We must get all the facts. The president said, wow, just starting to hear Democrats who are only thinking obstruct and delay and are starting to put out the word that the time and scope of the FBI looking to judge Kavanaugh and witnesses is not enough. Hello, for them, it will never be enough. Stay tuned and watch. Yeah, go ahead.
I would just say this. How do you think Dianne Feinstein and Hirono are going to react when I think it's likely that in the Dr. Ford matter, they're going to come back and say they got nothing.
Right.
So the prosecutor who asked the question last week is right. Everyone's right. It is a he said, she said, and the she said is full of holes, including the fact that she never named him to anybody until now, even when she brought this up years ago for the first time in 2012, did not name the person. That doesn't know how they got there, doesn't know where it was, has no idea, has a friend saying no, it didn't happen. So I think they are never going to be convinced. They never were going to be convinced. They were always a no vote on Brett Kavanaugh. They're doing everything they can to buy time to find more dirt, to throw more dirt in it. What I expect is not so much what comes with this investigation even, because at this point that's now up to the FBI. It's what else is going to come out in these next – it's just Monday. So what comes down between what happened Friday evening and today? Yeah. And what are there going to be other accusations pouring out or not? If not, I think that it's really just up to the FBI at this point.
What do you think, Wes? You're shaking your head.
Yeah, you know, the thing that I think about this, whatever the facts are and however they come out on this report, it's not going to satisfy the Democrats. And what I have observed is that the Senate, those 100 people, they used to be called, you know, the most gentlemanly and gentle lady body in the world. That is long gone. The tactics and the vitriol is unprecedented. And the meanness here, they're not looking for any evidence. They're looking for something that will back up a decision they've already made. No matter what comes out on the report, the Democrats will not only be against him, they will be mean-spirited in their opposition to him.
But, Harry, it's fair to say, I think, only we got a couple seconds left here, is that time is never a time lapse in Washington. A week is a year.
Absolutely. And it's important to remember that the Democrats are already launching an attack on the FBI before the investigation has been completed. All part of a stall tactic, in my opinion.
All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. We'll be back with more, including your phone calls, in just a moment. Stay tuned. A lot more ahead on the broadcast.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
So coming back from while we were in the break, we were talking about something. That is, the fact is, no matter what they come back with, it's probably not going to be enough for those that are opposed to Judge Kavanaugh. You got this. Listen to Senator Hirono from Hawaii. This gives you an idea. This was just on yesterday's broadcast, Sunday.
The thing is that every Senate vote matters, and there's time to get to the bottom of it. Even if it's 7 days, that's bad enough. But then to limit the FBI as to the scope and who they're going to question, that really, I wanted to use the word farce, but that's not the kind of investigation that all of us are expecting the FBI to conduct.
What is the type of investigation, Andy, they're expecting him to conduct?
I mean, I don't know. You know, Hirono has been against him from the beginning. Nothing that was said in the Senate hearings is going to convince Hirono or Booker or Kamala Harris or any of those Democrats on that committee. I don't care if they find confessions by Brett Kavanaugh that I did it and I did what Senator Kennedy said that I did long ago. That's not going to convince these Democrats. This is a political process. They've made up their mind that they're going to block this, and the way they do it is what we call in the law dilatory, delay, obstruct, and resist.
And it worked on Jeff Flake. So Jeff Flake had issued a public statement as we were finishing the show on Friday.
Right.
Public statement that he was a yes vote on Kavanaugh after the hearing. It was tough, but decided to be yes. That all changed because, as we pointed out during the show, they had Democrat after Democrat allowed to speak and slander Brett Kavanaugh once again and attack him once again for the second day, again, a second day in a row, attacking his character and saying how horrible this was. And we all talked about it on the air live, that can you believe they are continuing to do this? Why is Chuck Grassley allowing this? Chuck Grassley is to blame for this. I mean, this is why Jeff Flake. Now, the only thing we don't know is that whether or not Jeff Flake would have been enough, though. It may have been that he was warned off by not just Jeff Flake, but by Collins and Murkowski. But I do think that if Republicans would have just held the vote Friday morning in the Senate Judiciary Committee, Jeff Flake would have been a yes vote. We wouldn't have had this whole discussion. It would have moved to the floor, and then we would have let Mitch McConnell do his thing behind closed doors. Now, the Senate has really given up their job as advice and consent. They've given this over to the FBI, really, to make the decision for them, in my opinion.
Let's go ahead and take a phone call.
Back to phones we go. Let's go to Diane in Nevada online, too. Diane, welcome to JSEC.
Hi, Diane.
Hi, thanks for taking my call,
sure.
Jay. My question is, how do we know that since with all the nonpartisan or bipartisan, it's not even bipartisan, extra partisan work that the FBI has been doing in the last 2 years, how do we know that they're not going to be bought off or
because these are field agents that have got an assigned task to do that's going to be under a microscope. And when you've worked with in your military experience, Wes, when you've worked with in military police or military investigators, when they're under a microscope and they're going to be under a microscope here, they're going to do their job.
They are absolutely going to do their job. They are under a microscope. The FBI cannot afford any missteps going forward in light of what's happened in the last 2 years. But these are rank-and-file agents. They are people of integrity. They will be very pointed in their questions. They will look for specific things, and they will give, I think, an impartial report back to the White House.
So, Andy, what is without getting graphic, what is the particular thing they're looking for instance, on the Ramirez matter? They want other witnesses to confirm it? Is that what they're looking for?
Yeah, there's an allegation.
You've got an allegation. Brett Kavanaugh denies it. Ramirez makes it.
Right. So it's he said and she said. He said she did. He said she said he did. He said he didn't do that particular act. Now they've got to get in there and find out, is there anybody else who saw him do it or is alleged to have done it? Are they
and
going
if there
to talk
is,
to her?
That's not over necessarily. They have to be, they can, they're subject to.
They're subject to cross-examination. They're subject to where were you? How old were you? Were you drunk? Did you see it? Did someone tell you about it? Did you see it yourself? Tell me the circumstances in which you did see it. And then it can get graphically, gone into.
I mean, if they have a corroborating witness, it would be trouble for Brett Kavanaugh.
It would be trouble.
But a corroborating credible witness. It has to be a credible
witness. That's right. It doesn't necessarily mean just corroboration does it all together. It's got to be somebody who's got credibility. And I hope it's not a Peter Strzok.
Yeah, Peter Strzok. So hopefully not related to this case.
I hope it's not that kind of an agent who's got an axe to grind.
Harry, what's your sense of this right now?
Well, my sense is that the rank and file field agents at the FBI will engage in an honest investigation. And I doubt seriously that this investigation will be politicized like FBI investigations were in the past under James Comey's tenure. It's important to remember that if you go back to his press conference in July 2016, his press conference clearing Hillary Clinton was not supported by field agent investigations. Essentially, this was a decision taken at headquarters. And so I think to the extent that Judge Kavanaugh is investigated by field agents and they issue or they put together 302 reports, those reports will be honest. There will be some integrity associated with them. And so I think at the end of the day, we can rely on them.
Jordan, politically looking at it right now, we're probably a day away from getting the report.
Yeah.
What do you anticipate?
Well, I think this says it well. Chris Murphy is a senator from Connecticut. He's a Democrat. His tweet before they agreed to the FBI investigation was, the only reason not to do an FBI investigation is Republicans want to rush Kavanaugh through. There's no rush. The three women are willing to testify under oath, and anyone who has information to dispute the claims should be too. After they order the FBI investigation, same senator, Chris Murphy, tweets, yeah, of course there should be an FBI investigation, but whatever they find doesn't change the fact that Kavanaugh, especially after his performance yesterday, is the most dangerous Supreme Court pick of our lifetime. That, I'm just saying, so for the mainstream Democrat in the party, not the moderates, not even the most liberal, just the mainstream Democrats, there's no moving them. They don't care about the FBI report. That was just a delay tactic, like Andy said, to hopefully have more pile on, something else. And this idea, I mean, Debbie said, are they trying to get the judge to go through another hearing publicly? I think they'd say sure if it delays it. I mean, that's what I'm saying. They will take anything to delay this, because if they delay it through making a political issue in the midterms, they think that that's a benefit to them. They're making that calculation that this is a political benefit for Democrats to continue this process on. I think that it's in the FBI's hands to an extent that does not, but do not expect whatever they find, even if it's positive for Brett Kavanaugh, to influence a single Democrat.
But we also know process-wise, if that's what it is, his nomination goes, is at the floor of the Senate now?
Yeah, it's at the floor of the Senate. FBI report can come out.
When's the earliest the vote could be?
I believe by the end of this week.
Yeah, so it could have it by Thursday.
Yeah, Friday. I mean, we are in some unprecedented territory. We said it during the break, but for everybody who's on the air right now, I mean, as we finish our first half hour, this is not like there's some rule book for this exactly.
Yeah.
As the president just said in a press conference, literally while we're on the air, you know, they're handling this as what the Senate is requesting, and then the White House has ordered. And so it's not what Dianne Feinstein is requesting, though. It's what the Republican leaders, they lead the Senate. It's what they are requesting.
Yeah. We've got a lot more ahead. We're going to be here for 30 minutes. If you don't get the full hour of the broadcast, just go over to Facebook, Periscope, or ACLJ.org. We're streaming it live there, a television version of this broadcast. And if you're on Facebook, Periscope, and our other device and other social media platforms, we don't take any breaks. We're going to be talking about this during the break. Our radio audience, of course, Sirius XM, and a number of other stations, you got the full hour of the broadcast. Hey, we appreciate your support for the ACLJ last month. We met our month. We appreciate that. Again, your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference. ACLJ.org for that one. ACLJ.org. When we come back from the break, we're going to take more of your calls. We've got one line open. That's it. Probably not even that long, but keep trying. We'll get them to you. 1-800-684-3110. Back with more in just a moment.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, welcome to the broadcast, everyone, and welcome back to the broadcast if you're joining us here for the second half hour. Let me tell you a couple things. We are following very closely the Brett Kavanaugh matter. Since we went off the air on Friday, the White House did order an FBI investigation. That FBI investigation is already being met with, not surprisingly here, challenges. They don't like the scope of it. They don't like the nature of it. They don't like the duration of it. Now, the FBI is moving expeditiously. They're focusing on Dr. Ford and Ms. Ramirez. That's the Yale University allegation. I'm not going to get into the tawdry details of that investigation, but that's the two they're looking at. They will either find corroborating evidence for those witnesses, thus corroborating their stories, or they will not. If they do not, they're not going to say either one of these are lying. You know what they're going to say? We have not been able to corroborate that testimony. Thus, Brett Kavanaugh, also in that case, would not have been, there's nothing to prove that he was making a misstatement or a false statement for the Senate Judiciary Committee, and it would be a draw and it'd be a vote on the floor of the Senate this week. The FBI could be done as early as today with that examination, with that inspection or investigation. But I think it's important for Andy Economo, our former U.S. attorney here, to set out what this investigation is and is not.
The investigation is intended to make granular, find details from these people who are making these allegations with respect to Judge Kavanaugh. FBI investigations, 302s, that's the name of the form, number, do not reach conclusions. They don't say, and therefore we believe that or we recommend that. That's not what it does. It simply sets out facts as they find, as the agent, and there are usually two agents, by the way, who interview these witnesses, not just one, but two agents who go and interview these witnesses and come up and with the 302 that they then give to their supervisor. It is reviewed, and then it is sent up the channels and eventually will reach the White House. But that's what they're supposed to do. And I hope these field agents who are doing this do the right job and are faithful to their task of finding facts as they are and don't do the things that FBI agents in the past on this program we've talked about doing.
All right, let's go right to the phones. Jennifer calling in from California on line one. Jennifer, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Jennifer. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Jay, thank you for keeping us informed of the process by which this investigation is going. One of the questions that I have is, in the event that the FBI bring no further allegations, there's no other further impediment to just the vote on Kavanaugh?
That's right. So he's already cleared committee. So that was part of the deal. They will continue the investigation, but he cleared committee. So he's out of committee. It's at the floor of the Senate. The question will be, if there's no corroborating evidence of the allegations, I think he goes to the floor, and I think he's confirmed. If there's corroborating evidence of the others, I think then, and that's credible corroborative evidence, then I think it raises a different issue. It wouldn't go back to the committee, though. It's still on the floor of the Senate.
Yeah, that's right. I mean,
the committee's really work is done, although the report will probably go to the committee.
Yeah, Mitch McConnell could. I mean, this is the thing. He
send
could
it back
refer
to the committee.
It back, but I think if you're at that point, the nomination is pulled. That's not up to the Senate. Now, they can inform the White House, but the White House would make that decision ultimately. We'll take this when we come back. Calls then about how the votes will work. We'll explain all that when we come back. From the break, if you want to talk to us on the air, it's 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. But this will drag out at least through the week.
Yeah, I think we're going to be covering this most of the week. I mean, it'll be other news. We'll cover it. The report may get, if they have the report finished tomorrow, there's a chance it's released to the committees and to the Senate, and it's released to the public. And if there's no corroborating evidence, I think he goes forward on a vote. Now, whether they'll do the vote Thursday or Friday or Wednesday, that the Senate will decide. But look, that investigation is winding down. Clarence Thomas, it took, I think, 2 or 3 days. We're kind of in the same point here. I'm going to go quickly around here to get everybody's 10-second assessment. Absent corroboration of these witnesses, he's confirmed?
I think he is.
Eric? Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
Jordan?
Yeah, I think he has a very good chance of confirmation if there's nothing in the FBI to
no
corroborate anything.
Yeah. No corroboration, I think, changes as well. I think if he's no corroborating evidence, I think Brett Kavanaugh is confirmed as a justice, the associate justice to the Supreme Court of the United States. But the investigation is ongoing, so we'll see what happens. All right, we come back. We'll take your calls, 800-684-3110. We've got a video coming up. So for those on Facebook and Periscope, share this with your friends. Back with more in a moment.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, defending human life, standing up for our good friend Israel, working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington, battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world, and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
All right, we got two lines open, 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. We're talking about Judge Kavanaugh. We're expecting Fan Bennett, our Director of Government Affairs, is in a meeting right now on Capitol Hill, looking at getting a timeline for us, because we don't know the exact Jordan timeline of how all this breaks down.
It's
right
not
now.
Like it says in the Senate rules, this is exactly how. Now, we know once actual votes occur, kind of the rules, the cloture vote, the hours that have to go in between that. But to get to that point, we are in a bit of a new territory here because of this FBI investigation ordered after the hearings have ended, after the Judiciary Committee voted. Jeff Flake only said in his vote that he would not vote to confirm if this didn't occur. But he did vote him out of committee. He voted Judge Kavanaugh, was voted positively out of committee, and they could not control, as the committee said on Friday, actually this happening. Now, ultimately, I don't think it was just about Jeff Flake. I think it was also about Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins, at least, and at a minimum. And so the White House felt like to get Brett Kavanaugh into the Supreme Court, to have any chance of doing so, that they had to allow a new FBI investigation limited to a couple of these allegations.
All right, let's go ahead and take a phone call. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110.
Yeah, let's go to Chris in Nevada online, too. Chris, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Chris.
Hi. Assuming the FBI report comes back clean, does Mitch McConnell go forward only if he knows he has a vote? Or if he's unsure, does he force the issue and make those on the fence decide?
Great question, really.
Usually, you would not move forward.
Yeah. If you didn't vote, you would not move forward.
But
that's why they have
Senate
whips.
There are reports by the press that have indicated, and again, these are reports, that the president would rather put people's feet to the fire and have to force them to vote down. Now, this is assuming, Chris, like you said, everything cleared out. There was nothing in the FBI report, so make these senators vote. That being said, is that in the best interest of the White House or the U.S. Senate and the Republicans? Not usually, but maybe right before a midterm election, they'll make that calculation if necessary, if they feel like that pressure like that would work. But that is a big risk.
But if there is no credible cooperative evidence, I think he gets confirmed. On the other hand, if there is credible cooperative evidence, I think he's got a problem.
Mitch McConnell knows how to count votes, Jay. If the evidence comes in and there's no corroboration and there's nothing there and it's clean, he calls the president. He says, "Mr. President, I think we can win. I think we can go through." If there's a glitch in any of these reports, he calls the president. He says, "It ain't going to make it. What do you want to do? You want to make a political statement or you want to withdraw your nominee?"
Yeah. We're not at that stage yet, but I think those are the two likely, Harry.
Well, I tend to agree with Andy, but the initial question was whether any additional evidence implicating the nominee was presented at the hearings last week. And I think the answer to that question was no. Nonetheless, the FBI is currently investigating the nominee. And if the nominee is cleared by the FBI, I think the nomination will indeed go forward and he will be confirmed. But if there is a glitch, any corroborative evidence with respect to what the accuser has alleged...
Credible corroborative evidence.
Credible corroborative evidence, the nominee's nomination will likely be pulled.
Yeah. So I don't think that anybody can give you an accurate, you know, this is going to happen, this isn't. I think it's like Jordan says. I think right now it's 50-50.
Yeah.
It could go to 70-30 if there's nothing there.
Yeah, I do think it jumps. It jumps considerably if there's nothing there. But I think at this moment... right now, it is 50-50 because it's up to what the FBI is able to find and what people are willing to say.
Yep.
I mean, listen, it's still going to be people's words. It's not like you're not going to find digital photos. It didn't occur at the time. I mean, so it's going to be people's words. Are there enough people's words or anybody's words to actually agree and corroborate these stories?
What's happened?
And if so, I think the number drops considerably. If not, I think that we're in a situation where, yeah, the confirmation chance gets up to like above 65 to close to 75% chance. Back to the phones we go. Gil is calling in from California on line 4. Hope I got that name right. Gil, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Gil.
Hi. Yes, it's Gil. My question is, first of all, thank you for all you guys sure. You're doing a great job to keep us informed.
Thanks.
But my question is, they're investigating Brett Kavanaugh. Are they also investigating the other side, such as who leaked the letter from Feinstein's office?
Well, the FBI's not leaked doing that, but I understand that the Senate themselves are. I think it was Senator Tom Cotton said that they are calling for an investigation on who leaked the letter. So that is something that's going on. The FBI's limitation here, Andy, is the allegations that they focused on, which are the two allegations, Dr. Ford, Ms. Ramirez.
That's it. That's what the White House has given them to do, and that's what they're supposed to do. They're not supposed to do anything else, and they're supposed to report facts back as to what it is to the White House, and the White House then makes a decision in consultation, I'm sure, with a majority leader.
We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. If you're Brett Kavanaugh's team right now, Jordan, what are you thinking?
I think, you know, time is against you. But there's only so much you can battle against that now. I don't think there's too much to do. I think that at best, if they have to counter someone's statement to the FBI, they could try to do that by impugning the credibility of that witness. That being said, anybody that we've seen come out and also make negative statements about Brett Kavanaugh, none have corroborated these specific events, and they've actually denied any knowledge of any of these specific events. So that, I think, would be fatal to the Democrats, but we don't know. I think that this is a big question. If you're on his team right now, I mean, this is now out of the hands of the Senate. It's out of the hands, really, since the White House. It's
yeah.
What the FBI comes back with to the White House.
So, you know, I'm thinking, Andy and Harry, if I'm the lawyer for Brett Kavanaugh, if I was Brett Kavanaugh's lawyer, what am I looking at? I'm looking at, one, whether they have other witnesses, whether those witnesses are corroborating someone else's, Ramirez or Ford story, and whether that corroboration is credible.
That's exactly what you're looking at. You're looking at who else, who are they, what do they know, and can they be believed? That's right.
Yeah. Absent that, he should go to the it'll go to the floor of the Senate. If there are if there were to be corroborating evidence on, say, the Ramirez matter, do you think that's fatal?
I don't think it's good, because I think you're going to lose Murkowski, you're going to lose Collins, you're going to lose Flake, and you can't go with and no Democrat's going to vote for him, because no Democrat wants to say wants it to be said, I put him across.
Yeah, Harry,
I think Andy is absolutely correct that if we have corroborating evidence against the nominee,
none of which has existed so far,
absolutely, he will lose a couple of Republicans, and no Democrats will come forward to save his nomination because they will have political cover.
I keep saying it's not just corroborating evidence, credible corroborating evidence. They have to produce credible corroborating evidence.
Yeah, it can't just be, I know he drank a lot in Yale. But, I mean, literally, it's got to be, I was at this event, the one that was accused of in Yale, and I saw this happen. I don't even think... hearing about it is enough. I think because everybody's heard about it now. literally everyone in the country has heard about this. Right. We could also the fact is you had to be there and see it, I think, for this to cross the line. Now, what does that mean? We're talking about a few handful of votes that really matter at the end of the day. Most minds are made up. If the Republicans stick together, that's enough. You know, I mean, they don't need to get Joe Manchin. And I don't think Joe Manchin is going to save this for Republicans if Lisa Murkowski or Susan Collins, decide to do something different. I just don't think that you cannot rely on any Democrats to come to the rescue of Brett Kavanaugh. So this is solely going to be a Republican decision. Let's be honest about it. Can Mitch McConnell do what Chuck Grassley could not, which is keep the Republican majority together? Chuck Grassley,
you do not
could
think
not
that majority on Friday. That majority was not there. Clearly.
No, I mean, because Jeff Flake said, unless you do what I say, I'm going to vote no on this, and it would have been voted down in committee, which technically doesn't stop it, but would have been the end. So, Jeff Flake was able to be in control. This is a senator who's not even running for re-election, retiring, and he's going out and making this after he made a statement saying he was supporting the nomination. He gets persuaded by the Democrats. So that's why I don't trust anyone in this situation right now. The longer it goes on, I think the tougher it gets. Unless this FBI report just comes back and makes them look foolish. But now what we're going to see for them is that wasn't enough.
Yeah,
look into enough. So it don't matter.
Will it be enough for Jeff Flake?
It should be, but unless he has to sit there for 10 more hours and have people yelling at his face, someone who has no political bone to win in this, he's done. He's retiring. So he decided to put himself out there in this role, which was kind of weird for someone retiring.
Yep.
But he also, I think, has faced this onslaught from Democrats. I mean, they've
Julie
got the target
on
him.
Says, what if it comes to withdrawing the nomination or to being defeated? What happens then? Well, the president would... The way it would work is exactly what everybody said. Mitch McConnell would make a call to the president saying, I don't have the votes. And that does not appear to be the case right now. But he would say, I don't have the votes. And at that point, normally they would withdraw the nomination. They could make it go forward on political grounds. But if it's enough that they couldn't get the Republicans there, I don't think they would. And then the president makes under the Constitution, he makes another nomination. They will then have another role of advice and consent. But you'll have an 8-justice Supreme Court term for a while, which is never great. But that's just the nature of what it is. All right, we're going to the last segment of the broadcast. We've got a couple lines coming open here and there. Give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. Even if you get a busy signal, keep trying back. We'll try to get your calls on. We've opened up a couple lines for you. 1-800-684-3110. We'll answer some questions on Facebook. We'll get some new ones in the hopper here. Some of them we're back on. We're also going to get some information on the timeline when we come back from the break.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
All right, we're at the last segment of the broadcast. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We will take the calls in the order that they've come in. Let's go ahead and take one next.
Yeah, Matt's calling in from California on line one. Matt, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Matt.
Hi there.
Hi.
So I had a comment, and this is not something I've seen the Republicans really organize well around, but I actually think this is a genius move by the Republicans. You know, flake aside, not running for re-election and everything like that, but the thing the Dems were screaming for at that on that Friday hearing was they wanted an FBI investigation, and they did it really kind of quick at the end. Flake kind of came up. Grassley said, okay, and Flake said, I'll take a week or maybe less, and that's what... And you heard Democrat after Democrat, at least the ones that spoke, say, this is exactly what we want. Yes, we want this FBI thing. And then they closed the hearing and they moved it out, and now it's going to go to a vote. And we all know that no one's going to change their mind, regardless of what comes back, because it's so hard to prove a negative. So this is so the one thing you are going to do is you're going to get that cloud that would have been over Kavanaugh if he got confirmed, being like, the Republicans just pushed us through. They didn't care. It's like, no, they did it. They let the FBI in. They gave.
But they're going to say that's not enough. The problem here is they're going to say that's not enough. Mary on Periscope writes, was Flake more free to make these moves since he isn't running for Senate again? Answer, yes.
Yes, he didn't have to answer to the Republican primary or base, and he was going to lose the primary. That's why he's retiring. I mean, let's be honest. This guy was gone. He was going to be primaried out of the U.S. Senate, so he decided to retire instead of face that loss. So I do believe, listen, I agree with Michael to an extent. I think that the American people... which can certainly influence how this goes. I mean, these are elected officials. These are politicians. That's the point. The American people may agree, if this report comes back super clean, that the Democrats look foolish if they're going to keep complaining. So it may be enough for the American people. That's what we've said. If this report comes back clean, Democrats lose, likely. Right. And probably look foolish if they continue to pound their fist. It's not enough of an FBI investigation. You know, this is the seventh now that Brett Kavanaugh has gone through. They've got specific names to go for. They've got specific individuals to look to, time periods to look at, especially this allegation out of Yale. They know when it was, where it was supposed to have occurred, who is it alleging it, and then who would have been in the building. I mean, they could go through. So if there's nothing there, it may be that the American people say enough, you know, with this. And I think that's the best case for Brett Kavanaugh and for Republicans to get their majority together.
All right, let's go ahead and take calls. 1-800-684-3110. Who's next?
Joni in Kansas on line four. Joni, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Joni.
Hello.
Hi.
Yep. My question is, when the FBI investigation is done and it comes back showing there is not more evidence or the evidence to be true, would there be any recourse to Dr. Ford?
No, here's what I think is going to happen. I think they're going to say they're not going to call Dr. Ford Andy a liar or that she. They're going to say there was no evidence corroborating Dr. Ford's allegations. That's all they're going to say.
That's right. If you look at the report that this Rachel Mitchell, who was hired by the Republicans, did, the case, she says, is incredibly difficult to prove. It is even weaker because she identified other witnesses to the event, and they either refuted her allegations or didn't corroborate them. A reasonable prosecutor would not bring, she said this, this Mitchell said this, a reasonable prosecutor would not bring this case to trial based on the evidence before the committee. And she said that you couldn't even get a preponderance of the evidence standard, which is the civil standard, much less beyond a reasonable doubt. So, and I tend to agree with her. Yep. She was not the most, colorful prosecutor or exuberant prosecutor I've ever seen.
Well, it was a tough process. It was five minutes set up. It was not good.
It was cracked up and broken up between statements made. But I understand what she's saying.
All right. Let's take another call.
Yep. Lara's calling from Texas on line three. Lara, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Lara.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yep. You guys do an awesome job, and I really appreciate you.
Thanks.
Also, I just think, real quick statement, is that I think what we saw from Kavanaugh's anger was a little bit more than what everybody's saying. I believe that he felt the weight of the whole system on his shoulders.
Oh, yeah.
That he knew that what this is going to amount to. Not just himself, not just, you know, good and bad, and he said, she said, but the weight of the whole system.
Well, look, this is his career. I mean, this man he said something, I thought, two things that he said that were meaningful and poignant to me. He said, listen, the two things that he loves doing, coaching and teaching. And based on these allegations, he wouldn't be doing either. And that, Harry, is a pretty strong statement for someone that's had a pretty sterling reputation for the last 25 years.
Absolutely. So Judge Kavanaugh has been the subject of a sustained and relentless attack for months. It's important to realize that Senator Feinstein withheld this allegation, this accusation, for months before bringing it forward, just before the nomination was going to be voted on. And yet there is no credible evidence, at least to this point, in support of the specific allegation made at the hearing last week. And as I understand it, there's no support for the allegation made with respect to the nominee's alleged conduct at Yale.
Well, that's what they're investigating.
Absolutely. But it's also important to remember that however the FBI investigation comes out, particularly if the nominee is cleared, this will not be enough for the Democrats.
No.
Because they're afraid of Judge Kavanaugh's judicial philosophy, which does not accord with their preferences. They're particularly afraid that he might limit, for instance, access to abortion in the future. He may not necessarily support the creation of rights which are not grounded in the Constitution. This is what the Democrats actually oppose.
Here's what Judge Kavanaugh
talk about that. They're never going to talk.
Right,
it said it's not a personal, it's a character assassination.
Here's what Judge Kavanaugh talked about in describing the nature of what these proceedings have become.
This confirmation process has become a national disgrace. The Constitution gives the Senate an important role in the confirmation process, but you have replaced advice and consent with search and destroy.
Pretty strong. I mean, I don't know how you get any stronger than that. I mean, that's about as strong as you can get. All right, let's try to grab the last call here.
Yeah, final call of the day. Bob in New Jersey on line 5. Bob, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Bob.
How you doing? Thank you for taking my call, Jay.
Sure.
Real quick. I'm an independent. I have many friends that are Democrats. I think this is going to be a backbreaker for the Democrats with this Kavanaugh issue. They're realistic, and even with Trump's achievements, but they actually talk about voting Republican. And I don't see any polls out there, you know, addressing if Democrats would go Republican based on.
Well, you're Trump's asking the question. You're asking, it sounds like, Bob, is what impact does this have on the midterms? Is that what you're getting to?
Yeah, I believe they're going to be shocked. I think they're going to be shocked. I feel good about it. I think.
Let's get some political analysis.
Everyone was shocked a couple years ago, so I think that people are ready to be shocked. It's whether or not does that momentum exist in the country, or we feel like we're at this moment now. Everyone misjudged that.
If there's no allegations against the judge that are credible, in addition to the no corroborating evidence, I think the base is motivated.
Yeah.
If, on the other hand, there is corroborating evidence.
Oof, that could be the opposite.
That could be exact opposite. So there is a lot riding on this. Yes, there's a lot riding on this.
Yes, you could see people quickly moving away from wanting to be associated if the Republicans did not do a good enough job in the background, on the vetting. That being said, and this kind of individual who's been through it so many times.
Hard to believe.
Almost impossible to believe, except for we're in a time period of the politics, like he said, of search and destroy.
All right, so let's do this. We're going to be
pretty tough to get through that.
Yeah, you do. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, but not until tomorrow. But get in early. I'm giving that phone number now because we've been getting calls right at the beginning. So do that. Support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org and stay engaged with us on all of our social media platforms at Jay Sekulow, at Jordan Sekulow, at ACLJ. Of course, also on Facebook and Twitter. All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.